You may be seated.
Thank you. The final case set for argument this morning is Orthopedic Institute et al. Versus Sanford Health Plan. Mark Haig will be arguing, is appearing on behalf of the defendant appellant, and Martin Chester is also present here in the courtroom for defendant. And then we have Andrew Damgaard, who will be arguing on behalf of the plaintiffs, appellees, and Jordan Feist is also present in the courtroom. Each side will have 15 minutes for your initial argument, and then Mr. Haig, you'll have a five-minute rebuttal. You may proceed, Mr. Haig.
May it please the court, counsel. In 2014, the voters of South Dakota passed IM-17 and initiated a measure marketed to the voters of South Dakota as a method of promoting patient choice. It was codified as SDCL 17J-2, but for brevity's sake, I'll refer to it as IM-17 during the argument. IM-17 was written and marketed as a law that would give consumers more choice in their health care and health insurance needs. It was written and marketed as a law that would protect consumers.
Mr. Haig, can I interrupt?
Yes, sir.
I apologize. I forgot to mention that Judge Marshall Lovren from the Fifth Circuit is sitting with us by designation this morning in place of Justice Salter. I'll give you an extra 30 seconds for my interruption. Sorry.
I guess to realize it. Anyway, remember those commercials back in 2014 that talked about IM-17, and if this bill was passed, you would be able to keep your own doctor if you changed jobs or if you changed insurance companies. The Sanford Health Plan system does everything that was promised to those voters back in 2014, and it meets the express requirements and language of the statute. It was not written, this is important, it was not written, as other states have done, to protect health care providers. The question before the court is whether IM-17 bars Sanford Health Plan from offering to all consumers both a broad plan that offers a greater choice of doctors, including plaintiffs, and at the same time, and in that same offering, making another offering to consumers to choose a less expensive, more focused plan that includes a subset of Sanford Health Plan's panel of providers.
So, go ahead. So can Sanford allow a provider to join its panel while simultaneously excluding it from participating in any of the benefit plans? And if so, wouldn't that render the statute a dead letter, since membership on this insurer-specific plan would be essentially meaningless?
Just absolutely not. What we believe is that the purpose of IM-17, and it's included right in the language of the statute, which is it's for patient choice, is that if you want to select a plan that offers every doctor who wants to be in that plan, and keep your own doctor, like those commercials said, and have patient choice, you can select that plan. What's important to know in this case is that every person who is offered a Sanford Health Plan is offered an opportunity to choose that lower-cost plan. And so nobody is shut out of the higher-class plan, higher-cost with more providers plan. And in fact, 70% of the people in Sanford's plan who select a plan select that more broad plan with greater physicians. All we're saying is that nothing in IM-17 bars Sanford from offering, once they've offered that plan that plaintiffs are in, nothing in that provision bars Sanford from offering also a lower cost plan. If people want to accept it, and if they want to have a lower cost plan, if they're not concerned about keeping their doctor,
The interpretation, as you know, adopted by the court and argued by opposing counsel, relates to the second or the last part of the measure. You know, if we stopped at a certain point, you know, your argument seems to be stronger. It's how do we interpret that last half of the provision that is really the key here, that references the conditions relating to a plan singular. And so that seems to be what the big dispute is about. So explain to us your interpretation of that last half of it.
I think you're talking about that big S that was the centerpiece of the Circuit Court's argument. First of all, I will tell you that never came up during the plaintiff's briefing initially in the trial court level. It was not addressed by us. The S was not even noticed by anybody. It was only brought up by the judge at the actual hearing. And so our belief is that S does not matter. I've stared at that statute and tried to figure out what the judge meant by the S is the determining factor. And here's how I would argue, Your Honor. Even though the statute is only one sentence long, it actually has two very distinct clauses. The first part of the statute is the part that is the prohibitive part towards Sanford. And it says, no health insurer, including the South Dakota Medicaid program, may obstruct patient choice by excluding a health care provider licensed under the laws of this state from participating on the health insurer's panel of providers. That's the first part of the law. From participating on the health insurer's panel of providers. That's the prohibition statute. We cannot keep anyone from participating on Sanford Health Plan's panel of providers. And we don't, and plaintiffs are on that panel. And they are participants in the broad network plan called Simplicity, and they're within it, and that part complies with the statute. Now, the second part of that sentence is what I would call the protective statute for the health insurers, because the second part of that says you can't prohibit it if the provider is located within the geographic coverage area of the health benefit plan and is willing and fully qualified to meet the terms and conditions of participation as established by the health insurer. And so we meet that first part, the prohibitory part. Is that a word, prohibitory? The part that prohibits us from doing something. We don't keep anyone out of Sanford Health Insurance panel of providers. But the second part is this part that says, if, and that protects the health insurer, if they're located within the geographic region and if they meet the terms and conditions as established by the health insurance. Whether there's an S on plans or not, does not affect the interpretation of the statute. Because the first clause of the statute is the part that states that the panel of providers belongs to the health insurance plan, or excuse me, the health insurance, Sanford Health Insurance. Sanford Health Plan, I'm sorry. So it's our panel of providers. And we can have subsets within that panel of providers and have different plans. And we believe that so long as everybody who's offered a Sanford health insurance plan is also given the opportunity to have that choice to keep their own doctor, to have that broad plan, that we comply with the statute. Because there's nothing in there that says we can't offer a narrower plan.
So, Mr. Haig, let me ask you. So you said that the judge suggested the language. Are you talking about adding the S to plans or that would make a difference in the reading? Or are you saying the judge suggested that this is about whether it's insurer-specific or plan-specific? Wasn't that kind of the argument or the difference?
The first time the S was brought up, as I recall,
right,
was during the hearing.
Neither
party thought the S made a difference.
But isn't this case from the beginning about whether this is a plan-specific or an insurer-specific prohibition or in terms of the exclusion? Isn't that really what the gist of the dispute was throughout this?
Yeah, and we believe that the statute clearly states that it's a plan specific, because the first clause of that, as I just read, says that we can't exclude a provider from participating on the health insurers.
So you're saying it's insurer specific, not plan
specific. Exactly what the language is. From participating on the health insurers panel of providers. Now, the circuit court jumped onto that S in the second provision, which is, I think, is the conditions or the protective part of the statute for the insurers.
So let me go on to my next question, because I want to get this out there, and I want to hear from Mr. Damgaard on it, too. So there's two plans that the doctors are challenging. It's the plus plan and the true plan. And the true plan is clearly a very narrow plan. You've got, 250 Sanford docs in that plan. And they're the only providers. If an insured chooses that program, they're uninsured for anybody outside that specific and very narrow network, correct?
Close to correct. So this, for instance, the Sanford True Plan has most of the doctors or most of the providers are Sanford providers. However, there are other independent providers in the plan necessary to meet the terms and conditions of the
But the plaintiffs are not in that very narrow.
They're not.
Yeah. So they challenge that. They also in their complaint and were granted summary judgment on the challenge to the other plan, which is I think the plus plan, which has two tiers. All the doctors are in that plan, but it's two tiers, so they get reimbursed at different rates. So if you buy that plan as an insured, you're still getting reimbursed. It may just be at a lower rate because you choose a tier two doctor, which I understand the plaintiffs are in. They're in the plan, though. So explain to me why that would violate the statute, why that plus plan would violate the statute. And I know you say neither plan violates it, but explain to me why the plus plan wouldn't violate, or if that's different than the true plan.
Right. The plus. There's better arguments for the plus plan in terms of that not violating, because you're right. The plaintiffs are in the plus plan, but the plus plan is set up with different deductibles and reimbursement rates.
But they're on the panel. All the doctors are on the panel of providers on that plan, correct?
We have not excluded them. That gets into the weeds a little bit for my 15 minutes, but you're exactly right, if that's what you're saying. They're different plans. The arguments are better for the tiered plan. There's not a whole lot of members on the tiered plan, but the plaintiffs are in it, and that gets into what I'd like to discuss.
So you care more about the true plan?
Well, the true plan has most of the people in it, but the tiered plan does get down to what I'd like to discuss later, which is the reimbursement rates and how those, that was an issue of disputed fact that was never resolved by the court, and I think serves as, even if you were to affirm the court on the fact that everybody has to be in every plan, the reimbursement rates was kind of not addressed by the court. We think that demands remand, but I will get to that shortly. So back to the S. We don't believe the S makes a difference on that reading. We would first of all cite the court to SDCL 2-14-16, which provides that words used in the singular number include the plural on the plural with the plural of a singular, except where a contrary intention plainly appears in the statutory construction part of the statute. So the other thing is that it's hard to explain in an argument without getting out and diagramming sentences like we did in elementary school. But if for instance, if a doctor's only in one plan, you certainly can read IM-17, that plan, as applying only to the doctor being in one plan. So if the provider is located within the geographic coverage area of the health benefit plan, so if the doctor was only in one plan, which some doctors are, it would be appropriate to use the singular S. I don't think the S, I disagree respectfully with the circuit court, that the S makes a difference in the reading of the statute, because...
Well, and I might agree with you there, but the whole, if you read the whole statute, it says no health insurer may exclude if the provider is located within the geographic coverage area of the health benefit plan. So that seems to support their argument that it's plan-specific rather than insurer-specific. Because you've got some plans that exclude doctors, at least the plus plan, no question, excludes doctors from the plan. So that seems to be a problem under that statutory language.
Except that the statute says that we can't exclude them from the health insurer's panel providers. Nowhere does it say that we can't exclude them from some sort of subset. And we really believe that when the voters went to the polls and cast their ballots, nobody ever said, hey, look, this means you know, we can't offer you plans that meet your budget. They thought it meant, okay, we're always going to have the opportunity to choose or to keep our own doctor if we want. And under this system that Sanford Health Plan has had since 2015, by the way, these plans have been approved by the Division of Insurance since 2015. Everybody who wants to keep their own doctor can keep their own doctor by choosing the Simplicity Plan or the broader plan. What happens if we accept plaintiff's view of this statute is that the less expensive plan just goes away, because if everybody's allowed into both plans, you only have, I mean, who's going to choose the higher cost plan that has the same doctors in it as the lower cost plan? So what we believe would happen if the circuit court is affirmed is that we just get rid of this lower cost option for South Dakota, which I don't think anybody anticipated either when they wrote the statute or when this was brought before the voters.
Thank you, Mr. Dan. Justice. Mr. Dan Perry.
Chief Justice, members of the court, counsel, we represent the independent medical providers who are the plaintiffs in this case. The fundamental flaw of Sanford's argument is that it requires an interpretation of an any willing provider law in a manner that would actually allow a health insurer to exclude any willing provider, even if the health insurer met all of the criteria as set forth for participation. Any willing provider laws are designed to give patients greater freedom of choice with the medical providers that they choose. Sanford doesn't dispute that. Instead, it argues that confining its insurers to treating with only Sanford physicians somehow promotes freedom of choice. I haven't been able to find one case where a court has said that confining an insured to one group of providers is consistent with an any willing provider law. And after reading Sanford Navarro's brief, I know they couldn't find one of those cases either. So instead, what they've done is to try and argue that South Dakota's law is different, that our law somehow allows them to include a provider on one plan and then turn around and exclude the same provider for all the other plans, regardless if the provider meets the criteria to participate. And that entire argument is premised upon the any willing provider law prohibiting a health insurer from excluding the provider from the health insurer's panel of providers. So they concede that a health insurer cannot exclude if a provider meets the statutory criteria, but they claim that the individual plans can exclude providers from what Sanford characterizes as its sub-panels of providers. So when a non-Sanford provider who meets the any willing provider law criteria for participating in one of Sanford's plans requests to participate, Sanford says, well, you're on our panel of providers, so we comply with the law, but you didn't make it on our sub-panels of providers for the particular plan, so therefore you're unable to participate. And in that regard, what Sanford's really trying to do is to transform a prohibition on health insurers from excluding providers into a license for the individual plans to exclude those same providers. And according to Sanford, the any willing provider law intended that providers be able to if it intended that providers were able to participate in every plan, they should have used the word plans. In other words, they should have prohibited plans from excluding and not insurers. But health benefit plans can't exclude medical providers, because by their very definition, they are contracts, they are certificates, or they're policies of insurance. A health insurer, on the other hand, is capable of excluding. It's defined by this law as any entity offering a health benefit plan. So the insurer creates and controls the plan. The insurer determines the panel of providers for the plan it's offering. It makes sense that the drafters prohibited health insurers from excluding providers from the insurer's panel of providers for their individual plans. But the any willing provider law contemplates that the insurer's panel providers is specific to the plan it's offering. It contemplates there's a health insurer offering a specific health benefit plan in a specific geographic area, and that the health insurer has established terms and conditions with healthcare providers for participating on that plan.
Would a closed plan be possible then under your reading of the statute?
It would, because by definition, a closed plan is simply a plan that pays no benefits for out-of-network treatment. They can maintain their closed plans, they can create them, and they can continue to deny any benefits for out-of-network treatment. What they can't do is refuse a provider who's qualified under this law to participate in the closed plan. But anybody who's non-participating will get no benefits whatsoever. The geographic coverage area, panel providers, terms and conditions are all plan-specific, and you know, this goes beyond just statutory interpretation. If you look at the undisputed record, Sanford Health Plan is a health insurer. It offers plans to large group employers. Those plans are the Signature Series, True, and Plus plans. They all have a specific geographic coverage area that includes South Dakota, North Dakota, Western Minnesota, Northwestern Iowa. And the panel of providers, or the providers participating on those three plans, are all different. The Signature Series plan includes the plaintiffs. And you'll hear Sanford say that they give patients choice and that we're on this broad plan, but they neglect to bring up that we had to bring a lawsuit in 2015 to even get on that plan. The True plan consists of only Sanford health providers. The Plus plan has two different, they label them tiers of participating providers. The first tier consists of only Sanford health providers, and the second tier does include the plaintiffs.
Well, you were granted summary judgment on the Plus plan.
Correct.
That violates the statute. But that's a different plan than the True plan from the standpoint of all the doctors or providers on that plan. So how does that violate the statute if they have separate tiers, separate reimbursement rates? The statute doesn't discuss differences within a plan. It just says you got to have them all on the plan.
Yeah, I think the attempt was to set that up as an end run around the statute. But if you look at the statute, it requires at the very end, the statute prohibits discrimination against providers. And the way it does it is it allows the providers to meet the terms and conditions of the plan. So they've essentially set up two different panels of providers, or I mean, they might call it a sub-panel or a sub-panel over sub-panel, but there's different terms and conditions, and if we're willing to meet the terms and conditions to participate in Tier 1, we believe the statute requires that. What they've done, forgetting about the label, the tiered label, what they did is they set up an open plan, and they essentially made us out of network, because an open plan is defined as a plan that provides financial incentives to the insureds to use participating providers in network. They can still get benefits paid if they go out of network, but it costs a lot more to the patient. So that's what they've done. They don't label it that way, but it absolutely meets the definition of an open plan.
Well, but that's different than what the statute says, the all willing provider statute says.
Well, the any willing provider statute doesn't, it doesn't discriminate based upon the type of plan. It mandates that we be in network, which is synonymous, on the panel of providers for the plan if we meet the criteria. We're being treated as though we're out of network in an open plan, and I think they did that just to label it as tiered and say, look, you're participating. The reality is, when people have to pay twice the deductible, 20% of the coinsurance, and a higher copay, it essentially just steers them all away from us and into their Tier 1 Sanford.
But our statute is different than some of the any willing provider statutes in other states, which talk about preclude those tiers, where you got to treat everybody the same within the plan, got to reimburse them the same, you can't discriminate within the plan. I don't see that in South Dakota statute, unless I'm missing something.
There may be some any willing provider statutes in other states that specifically talk about tiered systems. I guess I haven't seen that. That doesn't mean they don't exist. But the concept of the tiered plans was basically put in an administrative rule by the Division of Insurance, and that rule was passed, I want to say, approximately 30 days after the Any Willing Provider Law took effect. But I don't think that they get to define what panel of providers is. I think that's a question of law, and it's pretty clear to me that the panel of providers are the people participating on that plan, and that the other providers are, if they meet the criteria, can meet the same terms and conditions. So if we're willing to meet the same terms and conditions, we can participate to the same extent that the Sanford Health doctors are participating. Uh, The small group plans are the True Plan and the Simplicity Plan. They have different geographic coverage areas. The small group and individual True Plans are limited to Minnehaha, Lincoln, Brown counties in South Dakota, handful of counties in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. So what I'm getting at, these plans all have different geographic coverage areas. They have different panels of providers or providers participating in them. The deductibles, co-insurance, co-payments all vary. So that supports the fact that the any one provider law contemplated all of this, that the panel of providers, it might be the insurer's panel of providers, but it is specific to each plan. There's other provisions of South Dakota law that support that. So, for example, by law, a health insurer has to publish an easily accessible online list of the of its panel of providers or the participating providers, but the list is required to be specific to each plan. If the Sanford suggested that their panel of providers is everyone participating in any plan, they couldn't publish that list consistent with South Dakota law, and it wouldn't be beneficial to the insureds because they wouldn't be able to tell what providers are participating for the plan that they're enrolled in. They're now saying on appeal that with respect to reimbursement rates, that if they're required to allow us to participate, they're not entitled to give us the same reimbursement rates as what they pay Sanford Health, and that their normal practice would be to negotiate with the provider. But as I mentioned, the any one provider law contemplates that they're offering a plan, that there's already providers participating on that panel of providers, and that we be able to meet the terms and conditions. We know what the terms and conditions are. Their contract with the Sanford Health providers is in the record. My clients are willing to meet those terms. And I think the fact that Sanford just doesn't want to reimburse us what it reimburses its own providers really isn't a defense in this action. I read a Vera's brief, which I thought was primarily policy arguments. Those were put before the voters. The voters made that decision. But they do use the same policy arguments that conventional insurers have for the last several decades used when they've opposed this law, and that is that offering these closed plans is beneficial because there's this aggressive bidding amongst all of these provider groups to want to join this plan and have this exclusive volume of patients. Totally different scenario than what this court is faced with, because both Bear and Sanford are health insurers that are part of health systems. Their record is absolutely devoid of any bidding whatsoever. Year after year, the providers that get to participate on these closed plant plans, if it's a Avera Health plan, it's the Avera providers. If it's Sanford Health plan, it's the Sanford providers.
Mr. Damgaard, you know, the second issue that Sanford raises relates to the court ought to send this back to the trial court because there's questions of fact to resolve once we determine the terms of the statute, because I think one of the, if I recall, one of the providers testified in the deposition, some of the terms in Sanford's plans might be deal breakers. I think it was the testimony, and so Sanford argues, well, that creates a question of fact whether they're actually willing to accept the terms and conditions of Sanford's plan. Tell me why you don't think there's a question of fact there to resolve.
Well, it doesn't, because that exchange was purely speculative because the witness hadn't had the opportunity to even look at the plan. So for him to say, well, there could be something in there, I suppose, that are deal breakers is just purely speculative. But we signed affidavits, our clients did, saying that they're willing to participate. I represented the judge that on their behalf that they're willing to participate. I'd actually seen the terms and conditions. And beyond all that, I think it's pretty clear from the fact that we filed the complaint and we're here today that we want to participate. They didn't know what the specific reimbursement rates were, but they knew it was more than what they were getting, which was nothing. I've never thought this law was ambiguous. You know, the judge didn't rule that it was ambiguous, but I saw in a very brief where they were starting to use some of these statements that were published during the election, and I've heard reference today about commercials and about some of the stuff that went on during the election, but they always neglect to include any of the statements by the proponents, the opponents, or the Attorney General wrote the explanation on the ballot with respect to what this law means or what it meant then. They also neglect to include Sanford's chief lobbyist who testified in front of the legislature in 2013. I mean, this was a highly contested measure, but the one thing the proponents, the opponents, and the Attorney General, maybe the only thing they all agreed on, They knew exactly what would happen if this law passed. And they knew exactly what the obligation of insured would be if the law were to pass. I think what happened was in 2015, when they had to put us on those plans, they spent the next several years devising ways to get around this law. And that's why you hear the argument that panel of providers is everyone, and we can exclude you on the subpanels, and that's where the tiered plan came about. But, you know, it's only been an attempt. When somebody's attempted to enforce this law that they've ever disagreed with its meaning. So,
what's your response to Mr. Hague's closing statement about the parade of horribles that will ensue if the trial court is affirmed here with reference to an ultimate reduction in options for the consumer?
So all of those arguments were made to the voters, and it didn't carry the day. I mean, they ultimately determined what the public policy of the state was, and 60% of them voted for this law. That would be my response. This law has been in effect now for 9 years. I mean, the only thing the plaintiffs are asking in this case is that Sanford be required to follow it. And we think the circuit court's decision should be affirmed. If there's any other questions, I should take them. Otherwise, I don't have anything further.
Thank you, Mr. Danberg.
Thank you.
Mr. Hague, you can proceed with your rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Very quickly, because I really do need to talk about that, if you do affirm the decision on whether the Sanford Health Plan system can't work as it can, which we believe it can, the parade of horribles, so to speak, that can happen, and why this case does need to be remanded for that reason. But I just want to say one thing, just a couple things in response to Mr. Damgard. If the South Dakotans truly wanted to write a plan for the benefit of the providers and to allow providers into all plans, rather than, as we do, to give every South Dakotan the choice of picking a plan that will allow them to keep their doctor, they knew how to do that, because right in the South Dakota statutes is the Any Willing Pharmacy Law, which has very different language, and basically says that you got to let every pharmacist into every plan, and actually uses that language. IM-17 doesn't use that language. What IM-17 wanted to do, and what the voters were told it was going to do, was it was going to allow everyone to have an option to keep their own doctor. Sanford Health Plan's system of offering the broad plan and then the more focused plans at a cheaper price does that, follows the statutory language, follows the voter intent. With regard to the terms and conditions, if you do affirm the circuit court's ruling, we believe that it needs to be remanded to talk about terms and conditions. First of all, as the Chief Justice mentioned, that the tiered plan that we have, the plus plan, does allow everybody onto it. And so that does meet the statute as well as the true plan. But there's different reimbursement rates and different deductibles for parties. And so basically the plaintiffs have said in this case, we're willing to meet the same terms and conditions as established by the health insurer, which is what the statute says, that in order to get in the plan, they have to meet the terms and conditions of participation as established by the health insurer. Throughout this litigation, the plaintiffs have continued to say, we'll meet those terms and conditions, and they continue to assume that the terms and conditions for the plaintiffs will be the same as the terms and conditions for other providers, and that's simply not true. Sanford's plans, even the broad plan, every provider negotiates their own terms and conditions, which is essentially their reimbursement rates separately. So everybody has different reimbursement rates. And so plaintiffs don't even know what the terms and conditions are going to be yet, because we haven't established them yet. We haven't done the research to determine, you know, how we take into these economies of scale if we were to try and keep the true plan. And so the case needs to be remanded to be so that we can sort through all these much more technical issues in terms of, you know, does everybody get the same terms and conditions as plaintiffs seem to suggest, which we believe would just throw the insurance industry into that massive turmoil again, because we have price-fixing issues, we have all sorts of things, we'd have to change the whole the whole way it works. But the most concerning thing to Sanford Health Plan, if this case is just affirmed and not remanded, is that there's all these federal regulations and state regulation in terms of health insurance. Like, I sat Monday with health insurance specialists, and they tried to explain them to me, and I'm glad that's not my area of specialty. But you can't just stop a plan in the middle of a plan year. So you can't just get rid of the true plan tomorrow. If you're going to add, if the court affirms, not just the plaintiffs are going to want into all the plans, but everybody's going to want into the plans, that would be a substantial change in the plan, which would require state and federal regulatory approval. And so we would ask that if the court did affirm, that at least remand on the issue of the terms and conditions and the plus plan so that the court could go through these more technical aspects of what would be an appropriate stay. Do they indeed get the same terms and conditions? We don't believe they do, but those things all need to be worked out, and we need to work out how we're going to work through this quagmire that will result if basically Avera and Sanford, two-thirds of the health insurers in South Dakota's system of offering health insurance plans to its citizens are overturned, because we're going to have to meet federal and state regulations to do that. So we would ask that the court reverse the circuit court and find that Sanford Health Plan's system of offering both a broad plan and a less expensive focus plan complies with the language and the intent of IM 17. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to argue.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments this morning. The court will be in recess till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.